Thump, thump, bump, bump.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Greg.
Last week I was sick. This week I'm not. So here we are.
And I am wondering if I'm coming down with something. I don't feel spot on right now. Like, hit me like about an hour ago.
Really?
I mean, not like I'm don't want to be here sitting in the chair, but I don't feel like the normal Jeff right now.
I apologize for the sounds. The windscreen is kind of coming off here. And there we go. That should be better until it pops off again. Hey!
Pop, pop, pop.
Poppity pop, pop. All right, so yeah, so what's going on? So we missed last week.
Yeah, and we I just posted the Thanksgiving show.
Mm. Now, I just got these. It was funny because last week they didn't send these to me. So they sent me some extra because they missed their thing. So I got them yesterday. Oh, nice. So they're fresh. These are fresh miracle fruit, which we tried in last week's post show. And we're going to try it again. And I got a cornucopia of various foods to try with. So these are the real deal. These are the actual thing, as opposed to genetically modified tomatoes mixed with
cornstarch. So you got 9 of them here. Have you used any yet?
Yes.
Do they work better than the tablets?
I think they work slightly better.
Okay.
I think the tablets may actually be a little bit stronger, so it might be better to use 2. Mm. I got more, so.
I see. Got a miracle fruit hookup, then.
Well, they cost me a good penny.
Oh, okay.
So, no, it's not really a hookup. But you can take the seeds and plant them.
Make your own miracles.
That's right.
And money. Make your own money.
I guess. The money was mostly... Oops, the money was mostly about... Because
what's
it was
the plant?
It was like next to air.
I mean, they're kind of like berries, so is it kind of like a small shrub? Or like
I have no idea. Got no clue whatsoever. The thing was, it was next to air shipping, because they say these aren't fresh very long. You can freeze them, but they fresh is better.
Gotcha.
So I'm going to take the rest and freeze them, but... We have these for tonight.
Let's drink some beers.
All right. Anything? Well, so I was more or less spot on with my Mars prediction. It was simple organic chemicals. They were not polarized or chiralized, but they were still simple organic chemicals, basically chlorine. Mm. Chlorine and carbon. And nothing terribly special or, you know, earth-shattering, but interesting. Definitely interesting.
Right. Yeah. Oh, they found chlorine on Mars. Yeah, I'm not much of a, you know, no one listening, except for maybe 3 people, are enough of a chemist to really know what that means or does not mean, you know?
Well, It's unlikely to find chlorine on Mars given the chemistry of the planet. Okay. Just the planet alone. Now, that does not mean that meteors can't, you know, carry chlorine to it, or other sources can't bring it there. It doesn't have to be from life. But it's unlikely that just geologically chlorine compounds would show up.
I see.
That's it. That, so, but it is not saying that life is there. It's simply saying there are chlorinated compounds on Mars. This is interesting.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. I'm sorry I don't sound interested. I just can't think of anything to say about it until they find, you know, more stuff. It's the first interesting finding, you know, and there's going to be lots of interesting findings in the life of that mission.
Curiosity. The mad rover Curiosity. What do you think about... All right, so let's get into something that other people are talking about right now. The fiscal cliff.
What do I think about it?
What do you think?
I think it's going to be another debt limit ceiling thing. Where they may or may not narrowly avert it. They definitely will kick the can down the road some more, and they will almost definitely harm the economy in the meantime.
I kind of want them to jump over the fiscal cliff. I would say, yeah, it would hurt me too. But I would say raise taxes back on everybody. There's no reason why they should be this low. I understand, yeah, you know, you want to raise on everybody but the middle class. I think there will be a minor bump in the recovery if this were to happen. I think it's worth it overall because if you look at, like, where the taxes were during our period of highest growth, they were a lot higher. And we still had major growth. I mean, I think there's a reason you drop low taxes, and this economy is not one of those reasons. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, I am more fluid in terms of my economic policy than other people. I think that Keynesian applies in some ways, and supply side applies in other situations. This is not a time for supply side economics. This is a time for pure Keynesian economics. Build us back up. Bring down the supply side when we can, you know, better, when the economy can better handle that sort of thing, when there's less inequality.
Yeah, I mean, I think it makes sense.
I want to try. This is the honeycomb chocolate. Oh, I want to see what that's like. Piece of that.
I'm hardly, yeah, economist to argue the benefits of this, but the you just read the stories about the, you know, the growth of inequality, and you know, there's the laws were, you know, are there. I'm trying to figure out. There's two different things I want to. Yeah, so I just kind of, my thought process just split into two different tacks, right? So right. So I was trying to figure out which side to traverse first.
Say both. I won't say anything. I'll let you say both, and then I'll give you my response.
Right. So the first one was that where I was going initially was, let's write down the second one. Oh well, if I forget it, I forget it.
Bunch of pens right there. Jeff is looking at the back of the pad of paper, which he's now completely distracted.
Why is that there?
I don't know. It's a code. Can you break it? It's probably, it looks like a GUID, actually.
I was talking about more of this, but anyway.
Oh, okay.
And, okay, so man, what great radio. economics. So
your first point, supply side, or it was income inequality.
We're talking about the inequality, whereas it's the I'm trying to organize my thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'll talk then.
Okay, you talk. Yeah, I'll make an outline. I will make an outline.
That's a good idea. Yeah, draw. Like, you know, I think drawing is helpful. You know me. Anything else? Oh, they found that Polaris is closer to Earth than they thought. A new study shows that it's about 323 light-years away, as opposed to the previous value, which was accepted in the 90s of 434 light-years away. More than 100 light-years difference.
Or a quarter. 25%.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Why was it so hard to determine its distance?
An international team study, it's a Cepheid variable, so that you have to take that into account when you're studying distance, because, you know, it makes things it makes things both easier in the sense that Cepheid variables are one of the standard candles, so you can sort of predict that the output is going to be. It makes things a little bit harder because I think, especially as they're closer, it's a little bit harder to get those light rays exactly as you want them to be. So I think it was a little bit of this, a little bit of that, really. And just a bunch of combination of things made it so the first initial observation and methodology used by the Hipparchus satellite was, it turns out, incorrect.
I see. It's good chocolate.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. It's got a little rice thingies, and it's got a honeycomb, and it's a milk chocolate, and it's nice.
But just honeycomb crisp.
Yeah, but you know, it's not too milky. It's not too sweet in milk chocolate. I like that.
So, yeah, this is. I got my outline here for the taxes, but I don't know if it's going to go anywhere. Again, I'm not prepared to argue this. I'm not an economist. Incoming inequality we're talking about. So, mm-hmm. you know, for most people probably are familiar with this, but, you know, maybe some people don't listen to NPR on a regular basis and might not know. If you the numbers, I don't have the exact numbers. What do you have?
Tissues. There was a thing right there, but you moved it off. There
it fell on the floor. Growth, like the... Oh, I wish I had the numbers. I'm trying to remember what they are. Do you remember any of the numbers, like, offhand? Like, the...
Just numbers?
No.
318?
Yeah, those numbers. Oh, man. Maybe I need to do some whole research before I even try to talk about this. I wrote some things down, but I don't see it going into a coherent
conversation. Give me your bullet points. Give me your bullet points, and we'll see what we can figure out for your bullet points.
Bullet points, you know, there's a couple things, and, you know, this really goes back to an overhaul of the whole political system, really, right? Because outside money, the tax benefits to lobbying, you know, I saw a report last year during the election about how, like, the average number of dollars saved for every dollar spent lobbying for large corporations, it blows your mind. Mm-hmm. It's actually it makes sense for these corporations. You know, it makes business sense for them to lobby because of the tax relief that they could get, you know, mm-hmm. if their stuff passes through. So it's, but if you look at it from another way, it's, you know, you're buying the ecosystem for you to live in, you know?
Yes.
And what about the people who can't buy their own ecosystem? So right. that's the thing that really, you know, gets the normal guy, the average guy, up in arms.
I mean, the thing that, you know, Marx was wrong by a lot of things, but I think that Marx was right about is that all these businesses, I mean, they depend on the people who work there in order to make their money. So labor is a very important and vital component to the business. And I think that people have lost sight of that as they've gotten to this. There's this, at least the GOP ideal, the party line ideal, is that, well, people at the top, they matter, and the people who aren't at the top don't matter until they get to the top. And if you're not at the top, you should just aspire to be at the top.
And then there's the whole, oh, we'll make it easier for you to make it to the top. Wave some hands, blow some smoke, right?
Well, if we give more money to the people at the top, then there's more incentive for you to try to rise to the top. That's sort of...
And there's more power for them to keep you from rising to the top.
Yeah, well, they don't say that. They don't mention that it's an insular group that doesn't like other people.
Yeah, that
argument. Digital politics is surrounded by insular groups. I mean,
argument that you just brought up, whereas if they start taxing the rich, you'll be less motivated to be rich because you'll be taxed higher. No. It's not like you're going to be making less money net. You know, it's not like you're going
to
be
There is a weird period where you get to a certain point and you are actually losing some money because of taxes, and then you jump ahead. So there is actually, the way that this thing is structured, there is points like that, but you just, you know, things like that are inevitable. They're waves and troughs, right? But the thing is, there are insular communities, and all the academia is another example where there's insular community, especially a tenure community. You're generally not likely to get tenure if you are strongly opposed to everything that the tenure faction believes. And that's generally, you know, more on the left than on the right. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's not like insular communities only exist in, you know, in one politics. They're around everywhere. We're smart apes. That's what we do. We make communities. And we exclude... I mean, there's a poster in Community. Racism is illogical, I think it was. And it's like two or three... robots of different colors. Okay. And his racism is logical. And Dan Harmon made the point that, you know, race is probably the most logical thing we have. You know, it's very much, I want my group to prosper and yours not to. Mm-hmm. You know, the point is to understand that they're all part of the same group, so it's not. But it's actually, you know, it's a problem of us overthinking is racism. Racism is us overthinking the problem. It's too logical.
It's an interesting way to look at it. Man, I'm off tonight. I'm just drawing blanks here and there and everywhere. Fiscal cliff. So, I mean, you know, it seems like, you know, they're going to draw it out.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, the concern is you hear the stories about how companies aren't hiring, you know, so they're going
to
do.
The last jobs report said they were, I mean, hiring more, and the unemployment rate has dropped down to lower than it's been in 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's
my
always
company is hiring. I mean, I'm aware of companies hiring.
Yeah.
It is true that in some areas of the country, companies aren't hiring, but in other areas, companies are hiring. And that's the thing about the economy that slowed in a recession. It's still growing. It's still, it's still 90% of it is working. It's just shrinking a little bit, but 90% of it is still going strong. So,
right. I think, you know, with all this, you know, the market hates uncertainty, right? So all this uncertainty, they're going to drag it out till the end of the month, maybe even into January.
The market thrives in uncertainty. That's the problem. The market both hates it's a love-hate relationship with uncertainty, right?
Yeah, I guess. I think they'd like to have things like debt limits and fiscal cliffs resolved early, sooner than later.
Yes. Though. Yes. No, the debt limit is just silly. The whole idea of the debt limit is just silly because the 14th Amendment says that it doesn't matter. All debts are going to be paid.
I heard an interesting poll. The number of conservatives that consider themselves Tea Party members in the last 2 years have dropped like crazy. Like, yeah. It went from like, it was a 45 to 12% or 5, you know, it dropped like that much.
Well, I think because what happened was the Tea Party started as this thing, oh, well, we have these fiscal concerns, and it became this evangelical Christian extreme right-wing intolerance movement. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing people who were, you know, who were concerned about the fiscal reasons but not other things kind of back away from that, especially as, you know, the Tea Party became the party of the birthers and the party of the, you know, just the crazy fringe stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that certainly did get everyone jumped on that.
Yeah.
Let's take this all the way to its illogical end.
The one I can't understand is Obama is a socialist. And that's the one that, I mean, it just makes no sense. Obama is one of the furthest things from a socialist.
Well, you can't call him a nigger, so you gotta call him a socialist.
Right. It's almost what it boils down to, and, you know. It's horrible to think that, but it's true.
It's just a standard rote insult or, you know, bashing point, you know, that they use. Who cares about the facts behind what socialism is? It sounds bad.
Mm-hmm. Who cares about the facts?
Any ist is bad. Another poll I heard from, you know, Gallup was, you know, they asked people if they're for free markets. A lot of people, everyone's for free markets, but not everyone is for capitalism.
Right.
But the same thing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, no. There's wiggle room.
Okay.
There's wiggle room. In the sense that, well, there's wiggle room, and there's wiggle room on both sides. So I don't know. It's tough.
But it's just that, you know, the socialist, the Marxist, the communist, the capitalist.
Right.
No one likes those.
Right.
Some people, you know that capitalism is our, you know, our method of, you know, how the economy runs. I mean, well, whatever, you know, put some words in my mouth. But
no, yeah, I'm making these things because it's like, yes, but no, it's like we're also not a democracy, we're a representative republic. You know, there's things that we can
sure. But, you know, it's fascinating how, you know, I don't know if fascinating is not the right word, but I found it interesting where, you know, they didn't like capitalists. It sounds like the Wall Street, you know, fat cat, you know, trying to screw you, where free markets is different. It's
people
more
try to avoid soft. The isms, right? People don't like to be an atheist, even though they don't believe in God. They don't like the term atheist, so they say agnostic because it sounds a little bit better. And it does. And people don't like to define themselves. People don't like to put themselves in a box because it lets people define their positions for them. If you say I'm an atheist, oh, that means you believe this, 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 and this. And if you say I'm an agnostic, that means people are less inclined to say, oh, that means you believe this, this, this. I mean, well, I mean, that may mean you're kind of wishy-washy on this and this and this, but I can't pin you down. So, in a sense, it's sort of how you present yourself to other people.
Mm-hmm.
That's Neil deGrasse Tyson's point anyway. Why he doesn't call himself an atheist because he doesn't want people to pin him down on those positions. I understand that, but I think it's important for atheists to be heard when you have people like Bill O'Reilly out there. I don't know if you saw the latest thing, but he had the president of American Atheists on. And
I saw a little bit on The Daily Show, just the one little clip.
Was it when he
said Christianity is not a religion?
It's a philosophy. So can we start taxing it then?
Sounds good to me. Yeah, John Stewart did a nice little thing comparing... did you see that one where they compared Jesus to... Aristotle or someone, or not Aristotle, but
I think I saw that, but I don't remember it that well.
Both have beards, but only one of them died and got better. I had something I wanted to mention. Oh, so while we're talking about the atheists, have you been hearing anything about this thing up in Elwood City? It's a town near Pittsburgh where they've always had the manger out in front of City Hall. And this year, the damn atheists sent them a letter asking them not to do it. And I guess the county controller or city controller said, or controller, one of those guys, I don't know, said it was, you know, it was a no-win situation, so they didn't put it up.
Good.
But the atheists who sent the letter were a group out of Wisconsin.
Well, it's the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which is based in Wisconsin.
Okay.
That happens to be the base of operations, but
okay.
It's not just a group of people, a group of citizens in Wisconsin. No, it's a foundation that's based in Wisconsin.
I see.
So they're not telling you the whole story, are they?
I guess they didn't tell me the whole story. But did anyone in Elwood City complain, or did someone...
I mean, when the ACLU comes, they say, well, they're based in Washington, D.C., you know. So why should they represent people here in Georgia? But no, they don't. So,
I guess there's ways to do the, you know, the good atheist work, and there's ways to just make atheists sound like a-holes, and taking the manger scene down in a small town in Beaver County, Pennsylvania makes them sound like a-holes.
But it's important that those sort of enclaves of religion get challenged. Just like if there were an enclave of anti-Semitism, or if there was an enclave of segregation, you know, that was just, you know, part of this town's rich history. It doesn't matter. You challenge them.
Okay.
I think that, you know, I don't see a problem with that. And I think it's necessary to sometimes be the bad guy in order to, you know, to some people, in order to express that, you know, the fact of the matter is we just want people to be treated equally. It's not that we don't want people to be able to celebrate their religion. It's just on the public property, you treat people equally.
Okay. I mean, I can buy that. I agree with what you're saying about treat people equally. I don't know. You know, Christmas trees, menorahs, and nativity scenes set out for Christmas time don't bother me. I don't know.
They don't bother me much either. I think that there's no reason for them to be on the public square. people want to put them on their houses, do what you want. It's your property. You can do whatever the hell you want with it. On your car, on anything. Anything that's yours. Free reign.
Amen. Amen.
If it's owned by the public, then the public should not be taking sides in that sort of thing. Or they should let everybody put something up.
So, yeah, they didn't put it up.
And that includes, like, Satanists and, you know, crazy Rastafarians with the, you know, whatever.
Rastafarian Christmas. No, that sounds like fun. What else?
Flying spaghetti monster. I'm trying to think of what a better sort of like symbol of atheism is than the flying spaghetti monster or the scarlet A or something. Is there a better way to express atheism? What is atheism? Atheism is just not believing in a God. But there's a philosophy of skepticism that is most people who are atheists also have a philosophy of skepticism. I think that's the people who stay atheists, who you know, are atheists for what you and I would call a good reason, have a philosophy of skepticism.
Right.
So what would be a good standard bearer for the philosophy of skepticism?
Magnifying glass.
Maybe. Microscope. But, you know, I'm just curious about that. It's something to think on.
Okay. So much dead air. Let's go drink some beer so we can at least talk about something.
Okay.
I'm so sorry. My head is not fully in the game tonight. Maybe it's all this food sitting here on the table.
There's a lot of food that we're going to be eating in the post and after the post show. So if you don't like the sound of food eating, probably won't recommend you listen.
But we are going to have miracle fruit. So
we're going to have what is what's called a flavor party. We're going to have a miracle fruit and try all these different stuff.
Cool.
Flavor party! Cool.